This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
All right, I want to begin this morning by taking a little poll here, okay? Here's the question. What comes first? All right, let's say you're going to a movie. All right, you're going to go to a movie. How many of you, when you first go into the theater, you like to go in, you like to get your seat, and then, after you have your seat, then you go get the treats? How many of you, that's kind of your routine, huh? You go get your seat, and then you go get your treats. Raise your hand. How many? Okay. All right, okay, how many of you, it's just the opposite of that. You go in the theater, you go straight for the snacks, the popcorn, the candy, and then you load up, and then you go get your seat. How many of you? Wow, look at that. Amazing. So we've got the treats and then the seats, right? So what is the right way to do it, huh? Well, I hate to tell you this, but you are all wrong. Every one of you. That's right. You're all wrong, because here's the deal. If you spend money on the food at the movie theater, okay, you're crazy. You are crazy, okay? You just need to do like your pastor does. Smuggle it in. Yeah, that's right. See, that's why I like to take my wife to the movies, because she's got a nice big purse. You can fit it all in there. Okay, how about this? You're getting ready to go out, okay? Maybe you're getting ready to go out on a date. Maybe if you're married, you're going out on a date too, because here at the Orchard, us married couples, we have date night, right? And so you're getting ready to go out on your date. How many of you would say you get ready first, and then if there's time to relax and chill, you'll do that? How many of you, number one priority is to get ready. I'm going to get ready. Okay, how many of you would say you're just the opposite of that? You are just chilling, or like my mom would say, you are dilly-dallying around. I don't even know what that means. It just seems good to say it there. But you're just like chilling, and then all of a sudden it's time to go, and you're rushing around like a madman or madwoman. How many of you would fall into that category? Just keep your hands up for a minute. Okay, you're the ones who are always late to church, I think. You know, for a lot of the things we do in life, what comes first is really not all that important, is it? I mean, as long as it gets done, right? I mean, do I put my deodorant on before I put my shirt on or after? Hey, you know what? As long as I'm wearing deodorant, that's the important thing, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you dry? Just kidding. I mean, it really doesn't matter. But then there are those parts of our lives that what you do first is extremely important, right? I mean, for example, what comes first? Do you get dressed first or go to work first? Hopefully you get dressed first. First things first, right? Or how about this? Now, let's say you're going to go skydiving. What comes first? Do you put on your parachute and then jump, or do you jump first and then die? What comes first? First things first. Sometimes what happens first is very, very important. For example, last weekend we talked about one of the ways in which we keep God first in our lives, and how that has to do with the way in which we think about our M&Ms. That's right, M&Ms. And if you weren't with us last weekend, right now you're thinking to yourself, what's he talking about? Is this some kind of weird M&M cult? What is this? Let me just say, if you weren't here, you missed out, because we had a big M&M party here, didn't we? Great time, right? M&Ms everywhere. But of course, we weren't just talking about those little candy M&Ms. We were talking about another kind of M&Ms. We were talking about money and material possessions. That's right, M&Ms, money and material possessions, two things that all of us have, M&Ms. And what we learned last weekend is that when it comes to those M&Ms, when it comes to the money and the material possessions, there are three very important things that we need to understand about our M&Ms. So if you would, take out your service guide real quick, because I want us to write these down. Even if you were here, I want you to write these down, because these are so vital to how we view and how we think about our M&Ms. The first thing that we learned is that when it comes to all of the blessings in our life, when it comes to the money, the material possessions, the provision, the prosperity, the wealth, whatever it is, whether you have a lot or a little, the first thing we learned is that it all comes from God. Okay, let's say that together. Ready? It all comes from God. Well, we also learned that not only does it all come from God, but we also learned that it all belongs to God. So let's say that together. Ready? It all belongs to God. Everything. It all comes from God, and it all belongs to God. Everything, the home that I live in, the clothes that I wear, the car that I drive, not that God would ever want that, but even the money that I have, it all belongs to God. And what God says is, okay, here, be blessed. Be blessed. Enjoy it. Be generous with it. But don't forget whose it is. Don't forget. And so the third thing we learned is this. I am a manager, not an owner. When it comes to the stuff in my life, I am a manager, not an owner. Let's say that together. Ready? I am a manager, not an owner. And here's the deal. The reason that these are so important for us to understand as followers of Christ is because the scriptures tell us that our hearts and our money are connected. That's right. The Bible tells us that our hearts and our money are connected. In fact, Jesus said, wherever your money goes, your heart will follow. And he also told us that the number one competitor for our hearts, guess what? It is our stuff. It's our money. Is our wealth. Which means that the handling of our money is a very spiritual issue. It's a very spiritual issue. That's why the Bible has so much to say about it. And so a huge part of keeping God number one in our lives is understanding those three things right there, that it all comes from God, it all belongs to God, and I am a manager, I'm not an owner. And that right there is how God wants us to think about all the stuff, all the M&Ms in our lives. But then I think that the big question is, how do I actually live this out? I mean, what does this look like on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? What does it look like in my life? I mean, how do I live in such a way that my life is constantly reflecting this attitude to my Creator that says, everything I have, God, it all belongs to you. How do I live that way? How do I live in such a way that I'm saying to God, you are number one in my life? Well, to help answer that, I want us to go on a little journey this morning. And I want to begin the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. Now, of course, in Genesis, we are given the account of creation, right? We're told that God created the heavens, creates the earth, separates light from darkness. And then, to help distinguish this thing known as time, God essentially creates what's known to you and I as a week, right? A week. 7 days that we always wish would somehow turn into eight, right? But he creates 7 days. And in doing this, God shows us something very, very important about that week, about those 7 days. He says this, out of all those days, out of those 7 days, give me one. Give me one. God said, honor me by giving me one day. And essentially what God was saying is, look, I want to help you learn how to keep first things first in your life. And one of the ways you'll do that is by giving me that one day, setting it aside, devoting it to me. And so that's why in the Jewish and in the Christian traditions, we have what's known as the Sabbath. I would love to spend a lot of time talking about that because the Sabbath is such a wonderful thing, and there's such a rich tradition behind it, and it's something that God really does take very seriously and wants us to do as well. But for the sake of time today, just know this: the Sabbath is simply a day of rest. It's simply a day of worship that we set aside to God. Why? Well, because first things matter, and God says first things first. Now, another place that we see this idea of first things first is in the Garden of Eden. Okay, you've got Adam and Eve, right? God says to this man, he says to this woman, he says, here is this amazing garden. Isn't it beautiful? Enjoy it. Enjoy each other. Have a great time. But there's one tree in the center of the garden that I do not want you messing with. And God says, honor me by staying away from that tree. Do not get near that tree. Why? Well, because God said this. He said, because I want you, in the midst of enjoying it, in the midst of caring for it, I want you to remember one very important thing, and that is, it's not yours. It's mine. And the way that you show me that, the way that you show me that you recognize that it's not yours is by steering clear of that one tree. When you do that, you are honoring me. And so God says, honor me with the one day. He says, honor me by staying away from that one tree. But it doesn't stop there. It keeps going. Listen to this. If you fast forward a little bit, you've got the children of Israel. Now that whole story is basically about the children of Israel. They have finally escaped Egyptian bondage and slavery, and they're on this journey into the promised land. And as a part of this journey, God says, okay, there are 10 cities that I want you to conquer, 10 cities. And so he chooses this man by the name of Joshua, and he says, okay, Joshua, here's the deal. The very first city that you're going to conquer is a city called Jericho. And God says, now here's the deal, Joshua, okay, when you conquer Jericho, now listen closely, when you conquer Jericho, I want you to make sure that all the stuff from that first city, all the gold, the silver, the wealth, all of it, I want you to make sure that it all goes to my house. All of it. And those other 9 cities that you conquer after that, hey, you can have the stuff and keep it. But not the stuff from Jericho, not the stuff from the first city. It all goes to my house. So do you see the pattern here? First things first. You've got the day. You've got the tree. You've got the city. And then we see it again. This time it's in Exodus chapter 13. Second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, God is speaking to Moses, and he says this. Listen to this, verse 1. Exodus 13, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. And so what God is saying here, he's saying, okay, consecrate, which means set it apart. Set apart every firstborn male, okay, whether it's man or animal. Why? Because first things matter. First things first. See, the first was a really big deal. It was a big deal whether it was a first child, a firstborn child who would be consecrated to God. But you know, it was also a big deal if it was an animal. Because what would happen is the firstborn animal would either be sacrificed, or if that animal was unclean, like let's say it was, you know, a pig or, you know, a cat, perhaps. I'm totally kidding. Wow. Because we've got some cat owners here. We love cats at the Orchard. I'm just allergic to them, okay? Anyway, so what would happen is, if the animal was unclean, what they would do is they would find a clean animal to be sacrificed in its place. And as a result, the unclean animal would be let off the hook, right? It would be redeemed. Now, here's what's so amazing about this, okay? If you think about it, this is exactly what God did for us. It's exactly what God, I mean, do you realize that? God sent his what? His firstborn son, his best, his first. He sends his son into this world, and through his sacrifice, and his death, and his burial, and his resurrection, you and I and all of humanity have been let off the hook. And as a result, a way has been paid for all of mankind. and all of creation to experience this redemption. See, there's something powerful about first things, isn't there? Something powerful about the firstborn. First things first. You've got the first day. You've got the first city, the firstborn, the first child, the first animal. And guess what? It doesn't even stop there. In fact, if you go to Exodus chapter 23, you've got another first. And here God says this. He says, as you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. Listen to this. As you harvest your crops, bring the very best of what? First harvest. Some translations say the first fruits to the house of the Lord. There's this real well-known story in the scriptures about two brothers named Cain and Abel. You probably heard of them, right? Cain and Abel, they are the sons of Adam and Eve. And we're told that Cain was a farmer, which means that when it came time to sacrifice, he would sacrifice what as a farmer? Fruit, right? Vegetables? Whatever he grew, right? Abel, on the other hand, was a shepherd. And so when it came time to sacrifice, he would sacrifice an animal because he was a shepherd. Well, the scriptures tell us that about this one time when Cain brings his fruit to God as a sacrifice and Abel brings an animal to God as a sacrifice, which, you know, sounds pretty good, right? Well, actually, no, because get this. The scriptures tell us that while God accepts Abel's offering, the animal, he ends up rejecting Cain's fruit and vegetables. Well, why would he do that, Scott? Well, because apparently God is not a vegetarian, right? Is that why? No. Although I do believe God enjoys a steak dinner now and then from Ruth's Chris. Oh, that sounds great. If you want to take me there after the service, I'll be waiting right here. Okay, anyway, but I think the answer to this actually is very simple. If you look in Genesis chapter 4, here's what it says. Let me show you. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. If you keep reading, verse 4 says this, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And then it says, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So what happens here is Cain brings some of the fruit of the soil. Abel, on the other hand, brought what? He brings the fat portions, the fat, not P-H-A-T. He brings the fat, F-A-T. He brings the fat portions. He brings the best of the best to God. He brought what came first. Whereas Cain, on the other hand, brings what? He brings some of the fruits of the soil, which was not the first. It was not the best. Do you know what he did? Essentially what he did was he gave God the leftovers. Now, I don't know about you, but I just have never been like a big leftovers guy. Now, my wife would say, Scott, you're spoiled. And sure, of course, we all are probably in some way, right? But I just have never been a big leftovers guy. In fact, if you invite me to your home, okay, and you serve me dinner, and it's got the word mystery in it, okay, or surprise, and it's made up of a week's worth of leftovers, let me tell you something. I'm going to run, Forrest, run to the hills, okay? But see, this is exactly what Cain did when it came time to bring God the sacrifice. It's kind of like God came over for dinner, and so what does he do? Well, instead of bringing out the prime-aged New York strip and the fresh sautéed vegetables and the homemade dessert, you know what he does? It's like he reaches into the fridge, and he grabs that four-day-old Kentucky Fried Chicken box and says, here you go, God. And see, there's a problem. Because see, when it comes to giving to God, leftovers just don't cut it. See, God wants, and God asks for, and you know what else? God deserves our best, doesn't he? God deserves. I mean, think about it. If you were to invite the President of the United States over to your house for dinner, what would you feed him? I'd be careful now. I see some of those grins. Yeah, here's the thing. You might not even agree with the president. You may not even like him, whatever. But you know what? If he's going to come to your house for dinner, you're still going to respect the man. You're still going to go all out. You are going to give that person your best. So why is it then that when it comes to God, the creator of the universe, the one who loves you and me more than we can even imagine, why is it that when it comes to this great God of ours, that we feel okay about giving him our leftovers? Because, see, I think if we're honest about it, probably to one degree or another, we all tend to do that from time to time, don't we? I mean, think about other areas of your life. Yeah, I mean, think about your time. Are you giving God the best time of your day? Are you giving him the best, the first part? Or, well, let's see what kind of time I have left. And at the end of the day, when I have no energy, I'm going to spend some time with you, God. Hey, what are we doing? Are we giving God our best? How about our talent? Are we giving God the best of our talent? Are we giving God the best of our treasure? And see, then we wonder why we find ourselves struggling in our lives to keep God number one when we don't give him our number one. That's why God says first things first. That's why God talks so much about this. And it's why God has given us so many examples. I mean, if you think the first day, the Sabbath, God says, set it aside. The one tree in the garden, don't touch it. The first city, Jericho. The firstborn, the first fruits. Yeah, but Scott, if God really does own it all, then why does he ask for the first and the best? I mean, if it's his, why does he ask for it? I mean, come on, does God really need my money? You know, what a great question. Does God need our money? I think the answer to that question goes back to something that we learned early on in the series, and that is, look, first of all, no, God does not need your money. He does not need your money. But what he does need, no, what he wants is your heart and your life. And since God knows that your heart follows your money, he knows that if he's number one in the area of your money and your material possessions, then he will be number one in your heart. And not only that, but listen, when you and I choose to follow God and to make him not just the leader or the savior of those areas of our lives that are convenient to give to him, and when we make him the leader of not just our souls or the savior of just our minds, but when we choose to make him the leader of every part of our lives, including how we handle our money, God says, I will consume your life with blessing. I mean, does that mean I'm going to have a trouble-free, pain-free life? Does that mean, like, you know, when I watch these preachers on TV that tell me if I send X amount of dollars, I'm going to become wealthy? I mean, is that what that means? I mean, does it mean that, no, you know what? It means you're going to have a blessed life, a highly favored life, which is a life that no amount of money can buy you. You can have everything in the world and not be blessed. Do you realize that? You know, Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived, sort of summed this all up in a scripture found in Proverbs chapter 3. Let me show you verse 9. In fact, let's read this one together, can we? Proverbs 3, verse 9. It's on the screens. Let's read it. Ready? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything your land produces. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with the finest wine. What does it say? Honor the Lord with what? Your wealth. And with what part of that? The best part. Other translations say the first part of everything your land produces. Look, in other words, what God is saying is, if you honor me, I will honor you. And he tells us that as we bring the first part of everything, the first part, as I bring the first part of my income, of my resources, of my time, of my talent, of my fill in the blank, as I bring the first and best part of it to God, God says, I will bless it. I will put my blessing on it. Look, can I tell you something? Regardless of what you've been taught, perhaps, in your religious background or in your family background, can I tell you something? God wants you to experience a blessed life. God wants you to be blessed. And you know what I'm learning in my life is I've got three kids now, and I'm learning that there's nothing I want more than my kids to be blessed. Those of you who are parents, you know what I'm talking about. You want your kids to be blessed. The idea of your kids being blessed just does something on the inside of you. And you know, in the same way, you and me as God's children, God looks down at us and he says, I want my children to experience a blessed life. So what does Proverbs say? Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything your land produces. Then he will fill your barns with grain. Your vats will overflow with the finest wine. So what about us now? I mean, what about us? Year 2007. I mean, what is the first and the best part of our lives today? Well, it's what the Bible calls the tithe. The tithe. Now, the tithe is not something that the church invented, okay? The tithe was not invented 100 years ago, 200 years ago. No. The tithe is, in fact, it's a biblical word that means a tenth. And what God says is this. He says, look, the tithe is where it all begins. It's the starting point. It's where it all begins. And he says, look, as you and I, as his followers, dedicate that first 10% of everything that he brings into our lives, as we worship him with that, that is the way we worship with our tithe. Keeping first things first. And God says this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Because listen, when you worship God through tithing, you know what you're doing? You are declaring loud and clear to God, God, I get it. I get it. You know what? God, I understand that everything comes from you. Every time you worship God through your tithe, you are saying, God, it all belongs to you. It all comes from you. And I don't own it. It's yours. I manage it. That is what we're declaring every time we worship God through the tithe. And yet, when we don't worship God through the tithe, do you know what God says we're doing? Are you ready for this? God says we are robbing him. Now I'm not a thief, and I don't have any plans to rob anyone, but if I did have plans to rob someone, it wouldn't be God. Like, he would not even be on the list, okay? I mean, you know, and God says we're robbing him. In fact, God speaks a great deal about this in the book of Malachi. If you have your Bibles, this would be a great time for you to open it and just read along with me, or you can look at the screens, or when you get home, you can look it up. But Malachi chapter 3, listen to this, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. And then he says in verse 10, listen, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. In other words, God says, look, it's all mine, okay? And when you start living like it's yours, you're robbing. When you start acting like an owner of the stuff that you don't own, you are robbing me because it's not yours. And so God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the local house of worship. And so God says, 10%, that's where it all starts, right there. That's how you and I begin keeping first things first. Now, just out of curiosity, does anybody here this morning have a $100 bill? Does anybody have a $100 bill? You do? Hey, would you give it to me? Wow, look how easy. That was easy. Wow, thank you. So she really gave me a $100 bill. Thank you so much. Wow. Hun, do you want to go to lunch? $100 bill. I know some of you are like, I knew it was that kind of church. $100, this is pretty nice. Nice, crisp $100 bill. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Don't worry. I did not actually take a $100 bill from her. You know why? Because this isn't hers. No, this was all set up. It was all set up. In fact, before the service, we gave her that $100 bill. We said, okay, when Scott asked for the $100, it's true, right? When Scott asked for the $100 bill, you bring it. Don't argue with him. Just bring it and give it to him and then go back and sit down. And that's what she did. And it's a good thing she did that because I noticed no one else was really getting up to give me a $100 bill. But you know why she brought it to me so quickly? You know why? It's simple. Because it's not hers. It's mine. That's right. I asked for it, and she brought it. Now, I need somebody else's help. I need someone that has a $10 bill. They might have a $10 bill. And this is not a setup. Seriously, you might have a first one up here with a $10 bill. You better run, Forrest. Run. Come on now. $10 bill. First one up. This is a smart gentleman right here. $10 bill. You got a 10? Awesome. Here, come on up here. Here's the deal. Wait. You're just handing me that. Wow. This is not even a setup. Let me ask you a question. I want to make a deal with you, okay? You give me that 10, I'll give you this 100. Dead serious. What do you think? Is that a good deal? What do you got? Should he do that? What do you think? Deal or no deal? Sure? You could act a little more excited about this. Okay, let's do it. Here we go. I'll switch. There you go. You take the 100. Let's give him a hand clap. You can be seated. It's yours. See, now you can never say the church just wants my money. No, see. And you see what just happened? What an amazing, this. He really did well, didn't he? And you can keep that, please. Every service, someone try handing it back. I've never accepted it back. Keep it. If you're married, take your wife on a date, okay? But here's the thing. I gave him $100, and he gave me 10. Pretty good deal, isn't it? Now, let's say that I'm God. That's scary. But let's just pretend that I'm God, okay? And because I'm God, I own everything, right? And so as God, I'm giving you $100, but I'm asking you for what? $10 back, right? Right? Well, see, this is what God says. God says, okay, look, here, be blessed. I've given you your abilities. I've given you your talents and all of these M&Ms in your life. Enjoy them. Have fun with them. But don't ever forget whose they are. And the way that you show me that you haven't forgotten is by giving back to me that 10%. You keep 90, God says, I'll take 10. Because that right there is the starting point. It's the tithe. Now, let me ask you a question. That's a pretty sweet deal, isn't it? I mean, seriously, because see, God could have said, okay, I tell you what, that 100 I gave you, you keep 10, you give me 90. But he doesn't. No, he asked for 10. Why? Well, because we already know God doesn't need our money, right? He doesn't need my money, he doesn't need yours. But see, he knows that money is a test for you and for me. And he knows that when people like us, when people like you, people like me, when we bring the first part of everything that we make in our lives to the local house of worship, guess what happens? God is worshiped, his work flourishes through this earth, and his mission continues. People's lives are reached, people's lives are impacted. But you know what else? Your life is impacted. Let me show you this. Malachi 3:10, he says this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. So much good stuff in this passage, but did you notice he says this? Test me in this. You see that? Test me in this. Do you realize something? What's so interesting about this is the only place in the Bible that God says, test me. As a matter of fact, there's several other places where we're actually told not to test God. Do not test me. But yet when it comes to our money, when it comes to the tithe, God says, test me. Prove me. Try me out. I got to tell you something about this whole tithe thing. This is not just something, you know, some concept that I stand up here and teach you today. that sounds good or that you know, I heard about, and so I'm going to teach you about it. Let me tell you something. I have seen and I have experienced firsthand what happens when you put God first in the area of your finances. And I'll tell you, I've seen it in my grandparents. I've seen it in my parents, and I'm seeing it in my own life. I'm seeing it in many of your lives because you're telling me that as you've taken that step of faith. And you know what's interesting? Here's what my wife, Amanda, and I, what we've discovered. We've realized that we can actually do more with that 90% that is blessed by God than that 100% that's not. And many of you would say the same thing. You've experienced that. We can go further on that part that's blessed than we can on the part that is not. And God says, test me. Test me. And can I tell you something? There are a lot of you in this room right now that God is saying that to you. He is saying, test me. Try me out. You know how I know that? Because here's how I know that. There are a lot more people who attend this church than who give to this church. As a matter of fact, statistically, it's said that about 20% of the people in a church actually tithe. That means 80% of people who go to church do not tithe, which means there's a lot of people who are robbing from God. And let me tell you something. If you've been around here for any length of time, you'll know that my number one prayer for your life and for mine is that we would hear God's voice and that we would have the courage to obey his voice. And you know what? That's what I challenge you with no matter what we're talking about. We're talking about marriage. I pray that you hear God's voice about that and that you have the courage to obey him. We're talking about what it means to be spiritual beings. My prayer is that you hear God's voice and that you have the courage to obey him. And it's the same with this whole tithe. My prayer is that you would hear God's voice, that you would obey him. And I know because many of you have told me this, that you want to tithe. It's not, most of the time, it's not because you don't want to. There's many of you, you say, you know what, I want to tithe, Scott, and I want to put God first, yet at the same time, you're afraid to take that step in your life. And you know what, I completely understand. Because there are times, there are days, there are weeks when giving that tithe is the most difficult part of that week. There are times when we find ourselves not sure how all of our needs are going to be met, and we go, okay, God, we're trusting you to provide. And I know it's not easy. But you know what, if you think about it for a second, what truly great decision have you ever made in your life that you weren't a little afraid of? Huh? And what in your life have you ever, what big decision in your life have you ever made that you weren't a little bit scared about? And you know what, if you've never been scared about a decision, then you've never taken a risk. You've never stepped out in faith, because stepping out in faith is the scariest thing in the world sometimes. I mean, think about it. Whether it was a career decision, maybe it was a marriage decision, whatever it was. Every great decision in our life requires a huge step of faith. But the reward is so great. And so God is challenging you. He's challenging me to do this. In fact, he says, test me. And we want to help you do this. We want to help you. And so here's what we're going to do. If you're not currently tithing, we want to help you obey God by challenging you to do exactly what he says, and that is to test him by tithing for 3 months. I'm going to challenge you to tithe for 3 months starting next weekend, March 1st and 2nd. For 3 months through the end of May. And here's the deal. Listen, at the end of 3 months, if you decide that this was not a good decision, we will give you every penny of your tithe back that you gave during those 3 months. Seriously, we'll do that. That is our commitment to you, that at the end of those 3 months, if you decide that you made a bad decision, we will refund every dime that you gave in those 3 months. All you have to do is call us, send us an email, and as long as we have record, we'll give it all back to you. Now, our welcome teams have a card they're going to give out, and this card just tells you about it, how this is going to work, okay? But as they're doing that, listen to me. Here, listen. God says, test me, okay? God, and let me tell you, as your church, we believe that a huge part of our mission of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ is about helping you take steps of faith in your life. Part of what we're here to do is to help encourage you, challenge you, empower you. And here's the deal. Now, don't look at your cards yet, because I want you to hear what I'm saying. Listen, every week when we plan out our services, we get together and we say, okay, what can we do this week to help empower our community to make great choices in their life? What can we do to empower them? And so this last week, we're asking that same question about tithing, and we asked ourselves, you know what seems to be the biggest obstacle in people's lives? Is it because they don't want to? No, we don't think so. We think it's because for a lot of us, 10% is a huge deal. It's a huge step of faith. And so we decided, you know what? Let's help them. Let's help them. And so we put together this 3-month tithing challenge. And here's the deal. We're so confident that if you'll take the step of faith in your life, we are so confident that you will see God do something amazing in your life. And I'm not saying you're going to wake up one day and magically be this different person, or you're going to suddenly be debt-free. No, you got to keep making great decisions. But here's the thing. At the end of those 3 months, if you are not convinced that it was a great decision, all you have to do is let us know, and we will give you a check back for every dime you gave in those 3 months. So take that card. Let me show you a couple things here. We've never done anything like this before. But I hope you see our heart behind this. This is not to get something from you. This is to get something for you. Okay? Now look at the card. 3-month tithing challenge details. First of all, if you look on the other side, this is 3 months beginning March 1st through May 31st. It says May 30th, but it should be May 31st. And on the back side of it, it has the details. Here's what it says. I understand that this form must be completed and received by the Orchard Finance team prior to the beginning of the 3-month tithe challenge period. That means that we have to receive this card either today or next weekend. That's it. You can still tithe after that if you decide you want to. But you cannot take advantage of this, okay? I understand that my household qualifies for participation because we've not been tithing for the past 6 months. I understand that my tithe must be paid by check or by completed giving envelope. In other words, don't just throw cash in there because we can't track that. You need to fill out an envelope. That's how we are able to track the giving. I understand that I cannot seek a refund prior to the end of the 3-month tithing challenge period, and I cannot seek a refund for any contributions made prior to the beginning of the 3-month tithing challenge period. Not that anybody would do that, but, you know, you just have to put it there. I understand that any request for refund must be received by the finance team within 30 days of the end of the 3-month tithing challenge period. And then here's what you're basically saying, this last thing. I would like to test God's faithfulness by accepting the 3-month tithe challenge. I agree that for the 3-month period, my household will contribute to God through Orchard Valley Community Church a tithe equal to 10% of our income. Somebody asked me, does that mean gross or net? And, you know, I don't think God's legalistic about it, but I think we should just try to go all the way with it. You know what I mean? And so for my wife and I, we give 10% of everything that we earn in our life, pre-tax, and it all belongs to God because he says bring the first part. And so we believe that's what we should do. But, you know, if you're finding yourself getting nitpicky, you're missing the heart behind what tithing is all about, okay? Anyway, at the end of the three-month period, if I'm not convinced of God's faithfulness to bless my life as a result of my obedience to his word, then I will be entitled to request a refund of the full amount of contributions made during that 90-day period. So here's the deal. You take the car. If you know you want to do this, fill it out now. Turn it in. If not, bring it next week. You can turn it in then as well. And let me just say, if you're visiting with us today, and you're sitting there finding yourself going, whoa, this is not for you. Okay, this is for those who regularly attend the Orchard and who call this their church home. And let me also say that if you're sitting here today and you find yourself going, you know what, I'm a little suspicious of this. Can I just say, don't give anything then. Don't give us a dime, okay? Because here's the deal. The Bible says when you give, you should give with a glad and cheerful heart. And you may not know us well enough to trust us yet. And that's okay. We would rather you not give than to give reluctantly or to give because you feel pressured or because you, you know, for any other reason than the fact that you believe this is what God wants you to do. So I hope you hear our hearts on that, okay? So anyway, let's look at the scripture one more time, Proverbs 3. And this is, it all sums up right here. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything your land produces. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with the finest wine. And that's what God says. When you bring your best, when you bring your first, when you honor God, he will honor you. And I have a feeling that 3 months from now, we're going to hear some pretty incredible stories from those of you who've taken that step of faith in your life. Because you know what? I've got the stories, and just about everybody I know who's taken that step of faith in their life have story after story of how God took them so much further on that 90 that was blessed than on the 100 that wasn't. Now, before we go, we're going to give back to God. And this is something we do every week. And the reason we waited until the end of today's service to do it, because, you know, it's kind of risky, isn't it? Like, you're going to talk about money, then you're going to take an offering, right? But here's the thing. There is no way that we can talk about something like this and not give you an opportunity to respond. We would be robbing you of an opportunity. And those of you who would be giving anyway, I guarantee you that your faith has been built up today and you're giving with more excitement in your heart because you maybe understand it a little better or God's revealed it to you in a greater way. So anyway, like we say every week, if you're visiting, don't feel obligated. But if you are giving, please use an envelope on the seat in front of you. If you're ready to turn your card in, just put it in. Otherwise, bring it with you next weekend. And let's take a moment, guys, and let's bow our hearts, our heads before God and pray. God, sometimes, I think sometimes we get this picture that following you is easy. But what's really easy is following ourselves, doing it how we want to do it. That's the easy way. But God, throughout our lives, you constantly dare us, you constantly challenge us, you constantly push us to take that step of faith. I mean, it's just what you do. Because you are an incredible father who wants to see his children blessed. God, would you help us to remember that everything we have belongs to you? God, would you help us to remember that it all comes from you, it all belongs, and God, that we are not owners, but that we are managers, and you've called us to be faithful. And you've told us that the way that we show you this is by bringing you the first, bringing you the best. And so today we do that, God. We honor you and we declare from our hearts that it all belongs to you. We're not interested, God, in just you being the savior of the easy areas of our lives. We're interested in you being the savior of every part of us. And so today, God, from our hearts, we declare to you that you are the owner of it all. And we give you our lives. And we declare that we give everything to you. In Jesus' name, amen.